Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Michael Sidgwick in the very short absence of Adam Wilborn, and I'm joined by fellow Dadley boy Michael Hamflett to preview everything that's in store for us on AEW Dynamite tonight. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure to subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. We preview and review AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views. Rampage is coming up onto the schedule imminently. We can conduct wrestler interviews, we hold roundtable wrestling discussions, and host a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. Nailed that intro, and I tell you what, guys, about last year, when I used to take on these hosting duties when Wilborn was off, I used to have a sheet of paper that used to... Top of the head. We will be reminded why Wilborn's much better at me than this, but you're not interested in hosting. You are marks, much like us, interested in All Elite Wrestling. Hamflett, how much are you interested in tonight's show?
Medium. I think I was an outlier last week's Dynamite. It wasn't reviewed as favourably, but it answered a lot of my issues with recent episodes where the highs weren't quite as high, but the lows were nowhere near as low. I found it to be a way more consistent broadcast over the 2 hours. Whilst it didn't sort of like heighten my anticipation, particularly for this week's episode, AEW have done such a grand job of building basically the next, 3 weeks of television, pay-per-view, specials, etc., as such a destination for all the wrestling fans to gather around and just look, just to peer through the window and see what they can possibly deliver over these next 3 or 4 kind of pivotal weeks for the company, that I'm excited on those terms more than I am for this specific episode. They've also, I guess we'll get to this in the body of the review. We sort of talked about this just before we started recording. They really kind of need to pull the finger out and promote Rampage. And I feel like we'll get loads of that tonight as well. And that's never a bad thing. When they really turn up the dial on trying to like hit you over the head with stuff, it feels so much more exciting.
Yeah, I'll briefly touch on last week's, obviously, because I think some listeners will be interested in my thoughts. I was obviously off enjoying a lovely family holiday. I don't know if it was just the setting of going back to Daly's place with like such a weird quickness. The homecoming, like, I always thought in my heart, how awesome would it be, and this is not, hasn't happened, how awesome would it be if after that huge long residency at Daly's place, they went at least a year doing the arenas, and hopefully throughout that period, it would become endemic or manageable or whatever, the pandemic. And then, and only then, would they go back to Daly's place, and it'd be like, oh, the world's fixed. The product's awesome. How sweet is it to come back here, but in a completely like 180 terms? We didn't get that. Basically what's happened, right? And I think they want to really keep Daly's place as their home base. It's a really like strong thing to do. They've effectively guaranteed about 1,500 people in that place at least every single time.
Cody tried to brand it last week. I don't think it quite landed, but I think that was the intent, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To sort of rename it formally, and it didn't really land at it. But
yeah.
The AEW amphitheater is kind of that, like, we should all start calling it that now sort of thing. Like,
yeah. So I think that here's what's happened. Either they want to really get a territory vibe going, or they genuinely are appreciative of everyone who continued to come out distanced, masked, all the rest of it. And they thought, you know what, they deserve a reward. They deserve like a proper Dynamite. Or they couldn't get an arena booked. That the only explanation for why they went back so early. And I'm thinking, if that show happens in an arena, I don't think it's suffered with volume, but maybe just, oh, here again. Because I was way higher on that Dynamite than most people were as well. Like, Miro Lee Johnson, Miro's individual performance was fantastic. That trios match was way different to the trios matches we've seen and we'll probably see again tonight. So much goddamn fun. And Malakai Black, I'm getting his t-shirt. Like, you know that feel when you're proper high in a wrestler? I'm getting that from Malakai Black, and I can't believe I am, because I just thought he was a bit of a dork in WWE, if I'm totally honest. Jesus Christ, have they nailed every goddamn inch of that character. But yeah, tonight's lineup, my favorite part of Dynamite usually is, we've talked about this at length, is just after the women's match, because it's always in the penultimate quarter hour, it would seem, just before the main event, you get a rundown of next week's card, and you're like, oh, yes, that's awesome. And you get these feelings of being a total mark, anticipating the greatness to come, and you got one more bit of greatness in the main event. It's just a wonderful little promotional tactic. I watched that last week, and I went, eh, he's joking. Like, seriously, this is what you got? Is Rampage going to kill it like on week one? And then you get two specific matches added that were, all right, okay, you're going to get two absolute bangers to complement what is more a story-driven show. But we'll get into it. I would not anticipate Chris Jericho versus Wardlow, the fourth of the fifth labors of Jericho, to be a banger. We firmly expect Jericho to win. I enjoy the fact that Wardlow's in it, just purely because by virtue of being in it, he comes across as a big deal through the parameters of the storyline, at least, where it's like, right, okay, you've had the lunatic, you've had the guy who you can't wrestle anymore because you can't do top rope stuff because you're a heavyweight. You've had the odds stacked against you with Sean Spears. I'm just going to get the hard bastard to kill you off before I have to do it. So viewed through those parameters, I think it really reflects well on Wardlow, how he's positioned in the storyline. I do have my doubts about the match quality. Chris Jericho is so over that it will be loud. I'm really hoping this is kept simple. And I think it will be, because as much as I've really enjoyed the labors, I thought the UV match was far too ambitious. It had a great finish and they got there in the end just, but my God, those first 2 minutes were amateurish. I really hope this is kept simple, and I hope that Chris Jericho does the very not boring version of a solid pro's job to get the raw power of Wardlow over. What are your thoughts on this? Does it jazz you up?
It doesn't. I am always keen to see the gradual ascension of Wardlow in the form of these, you know, we talk about the labors of Jericho. Really, this is the tests of Wardlow, isn't it? Every singles match he has is another like test to see just how much he's advanced in the time. The very smart gaps that they keep him away from the spotlight, whether that be his showcase moment in Blood and Guts, or of course that debut against Cody. The stuff with the MMA-inspired stuff with Hager, I thought was pretty great, you know. Like, they've been very measured and very careful with how they've deployed Wardlow as a straight singles wrestler. And this is hopefully just another example of that. You're going in there with this guy who's sort of, at this point, he's a knackered but more entertaining Christian in this context. That's what Chris Jericho is. He's not going to have the engine that Christian clearly has to do this, but he'll probably bring a little bit more sizzle to the actual body of the match itself. So, you know, you're losing a bit of one, but you're getting a bit more of another. That's only based on the evidence of the labours thus far. Like, Chris Jericho has been ambitious is the word. Like, maybe touch kind for me, I'd say over-ambitious, especially with the Juventud match. Like, the sloppiness undermined the rest of the story that we're trying to tell. I don't think we're going to get that here. I don't think Jericho would want that for Wardlow. There was such a novelty vibe in the air with the Nick Gage and Hoovy matches that I think almost Jericho could treat it as like he was on his holidays a little bit. This is more about this is the business end of things in terms of the labors and in terms of AEW. You cannot just go out there and flop about knackered when you're in the ring with the guy that the company wants as one of its next major stars. The interesting thing is how they delicately deal with the reality of the finish. Jericho's probably got a win, and it was one thing for Cody to like risk it all off the top of a steel cage to beat Wardlow, but I mean, look at them, and what is Jericho doing beyond this degenerating into an Inner Circle pinnacle runaround that leaves Wardlow in such a position that he can even beat him? This is not a very AEW trick, but it's popped into my head since last week that MJF commentates it or stands ringside or whatever in a suit that should Jericho somehow get the win, MJF tears the suit away and says, "The last labor is fighting at me now." And he just pins him with the greatest of ease because Jericho's been battered by Wardlow and he takes away that match yet again. And you've got Rampages with which to try and get it back on the pay-per-view, something like that. Because yes, Jericho will probably win, but fundamentally Wardlow's got to come out feeling like the winner, hasn't he? That's the challenge of I've been thinking and I cannot work out what finish they arrive upon beyond the luckiest of Judas effects to stop a rampaging Wardlow in his tracks.
Yeah, the finish is going to be difficult because the idea is you don't want Wardlow to look like he's just done a job to 50-year-old Chris Jericho, who's been pushed to his limit, like in the parameters of the storyline and very much in real life over the past 3 weeks or so. But they've nailed the finishes recently to the matches. The top rope Judas effect made that match or salvaged that match. I talked in 2 weeks ago in glowing terms about how realistically they did back-to-back clean jobs at the expense of John Moxley and Nick Gage, and given their characters, that's some feat. Like, some feat, how they nailed those finishes. So it's something that AEW really should get more praise for. And maybe that praise will be forthcoming if they get this right. Top of my head, on the spot, if I was going to put this finish, they've done a tremendous job of, like, maintaining the Judas effect as this absolute death blow. What if Chris Jericho lands it flush in Wardlow's face and Wardlow just eats it and does that tits thing with his tongue that he does and like then takes a second one and then that knocks him out? Like, he doesn't have to kick out of it. He can just do this raw display of like dumb jock energy strength, something like that.
I wouldn't normally advocate for it, especially when one of the like more frequent criticisms of AEW is that their finishes, they may provide finishes, but they're not really all very clean. If ever there was a story that actually serviced the heel communication, it was this one. MJF loads up the Dynamite Diamond Ring and swings a punch flush in Wardlow's face, something like that, because we've got this lingering thread between them that ultimately Wardlow will one day turn babyface and break away from MJF's financial hold. It would be quite becoming of MJF to blame Wardlow for failing when it's all as a result, very literally, at his hand. This is one of those rare cases where that, I think, would be completely justifiable.
You know what? Now that you mention it, that would be like a really nice symmetry of the All Out 2020 finish in the Moxley match.
Yeah.
Wardlow's knacked him once. MJF could screw him inadvertently here. Wardlow could point that out, and then they could basically have a little treaty. All right, it's 1-1. We all make mistakes, etc., etc. Like, dangle that thread and then just swoop it overhead so that they're not ready to really like put it in the fabric of their storyline. I like that idea. We've both got good ones. Is this a good idea or not? Anderson and Gallows in a tag team match against the Dark Order for the Impact Tag Team Championships. Look, Grayson and Anderson will do some great stuff. Uno and Anderson will do some great stuff in this match. By great, I mean pretty good, like just on your Dynamite expectation levels. I love Big Dangly. I love Doc Gallows. I love him more for the. I love him more as a meme and a character than a professional wrestler. Is he due? Come on, mate! Performance.
I don't know because I work Thursdays with you and Murray in the office, and the less Gallows does, the more we pop at how he's getting away with this in the year of our Lord 2021. So I kind of like it when he does as little as he can justify for the multiple promoters he works for. Look, there are two sides to that forbidden door. One side has Hiroshi Tanahashi's face on it. The other side has an Impact Tag Team title match. We have to deal, like, the open universe cannot unfortunately furnish us with all the stuff we like on the show we watch and all the stuff we're not that asked about on the other ones that we don't have to review or keep up with. I've not got high hopes, and maybe that'll benefit. Maybe that'll benefit the match. I don't think many people are going to have huge expectations for this one. I also think there's an outside shot that the Dark Order win this. Or better off when it comes to Impact stuff, because again, the open universe that AEW has helped cultivate, you know, with, you know, New Japan Impact obviously being very involved in it, has kind of, other than Omega's Impact title defenses thus far, has added an air of unpredictability to proceedings. We all pretty much got the Moxley-Kenta prediction wrong in the most pleasing way as well. And I guess to a lesser extent, the Moxley and Archer one, Wilborn, somewhere is out here shouting that he called that one. But belts can change hands now that everybody has this kind of, you do a favour for me, I'll do a favour for you relationship. So I wouldn't rule out a title change for you. And what's pretty cool about this taking place is that at long last, there is a small chink in Super Elite's armour, of which I think we're in need of one now.
Yes.
We're probably in need of a few, actually, as fun as it is to watch them week after week luxuriate in their own hideousness. I mean, that basketball thing last week was just incredible. But there's only so long, like every now and then they have to take a hit, even if they don't lose the big match on the big night. So I wouldn't rule this out. And it'd be quite a nice detail in this story, not just for Hangman Page to now have to do it by himself, because that's where the Dark Order are. But it turns out, without Hangman Page to think about, the Dark Order are getting it done too. There is something, there's just a little detail to that that's maybe to enjoy. So maybe they'll get, maybe this match will heat up towards the end because there might be genuine tension around the results. Belts often mean nothing until you're in the absolute heat of the battle, and then suddenly wrestling has this funny way of making them mean everything. So there's going to be a two count here. And once you're on the hook for the Dark Order possibly getting gold, like that might carry the rest of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got more interesting storyline ramifications than like prospective match quality, but again, like the title might elevate it. I'm very, very curious about the finish, so I will be into the match, irrespective of whether it's a gentleman's three, which anything above that I think will be a major over delivery. But I'm thinking the Dark Order doing the titles. I don't know who gets the shot at the books at All Out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I do think I'm fascinated by the genius of the AEW booking process is that you've got complete faith in it. You know that Hangman Page is going to dethrone Kenny Omega, but they are masters at pure, unadulterated, all-or-nothing drama. At the minute, you feel like he's got no chance because he has been stipulated to have no chance. If the Dark Order takes something from the Elite that they want back, maybe the Dark Order can play that game against the Elite and fold in Hangman Page. I just think there's going to be a title switch forthcoming. You could not have done more. This is fine. They're a mid-card stable who are endearing dorks, but you couldn't have done more in the 10-man match to tell you the Dark Order aren't on that level. This is a way for them to get back in the upper mid-card and potentially have something like to bargain for. I don't know, but I do think there's going to be a title switch. I genuinely do. For no other reason than, as you say, like if you look at the rhythms of the storyline, you need a dent in that armor, because if you dent the armor, you create like a narrative opening as well. And at the minute, they've got it up their sleeve. I've got no idea what it is. Maybe this is the first sort of crack into this opening picture that's going to have to open reasonably soon. The first of two trios we'll preview. We'll do the better one at the end because it ties into a different question I'd like to ask. But we've got the best friends of Chuck Taylor, Orange Cassidy and Wheeler Yuta versus Matt Hardy and Private Party. I'm very bored of this. Very, very bored of this, if I'm being honest. Like, the Hardy Family Office at full strength, and I tweeted this yesterday, the mega fans will forgive me, but the Hardy Family Office at full strength contain three tag teams that, in theory, should be in competition with them. It's a bizarre stable. I don't hate it, but do I think that I don't hate it because, oh, well, at least with this, you're not getting supernatural, wacky, broken Matt Hardy. So there's that element. Like, the Hardy Family Office, a weird, nonsensical stable. I get that they're following money, and that might mean more to them than, you know, like, potentially winning matches. They're feuding with, like, everyone. Christian Cage, Jungle Boy, Best Friends. It's all very muddled. I'm kind of, like, not into any of it at all. How do you see this one going, and do you give a toss?
Don't know and no. The thing is, with the matches, tends to be with Dynamite, and this is a huge credit to AEW. Often, when you're not bothered about the match or the combination of the wrestlers, you instead move to thinking about what's going to happen afterwards or who's going to bump into who, you know, like who's going to run in because that feud's a continuation of that feud and so on and so on and so on. Like, I don't even care about the ramifications to this.
No.
Like, and I've been critical of the Best Friends quite a lot over the years at this point, but they always feel inessential, even within their own feud. And then occasionally you have this like awesome, really gratifying payoff that sort of justifies the whole thing. But often these feel like the hard yards, and it just feels like it's happening again. I've had this take before on podcasts, and it might be something for a longer form get the table than just a Dynamite preview or review. I don't think AEW maybe gets enough criticism for having a fantastic tag team roster, but not a good enough tag team division. I've said this before, it's like, it's more pronounced to me with the Young Bucks on top of it because they've been constantly involved in like main event feuds. I don't feel the rankings happening. I just feel occasional like tag matches that take place that people move up and down and in and around. And at the moment, there's the Proud and Powerful FTR feud. That's about it. You know, that's the only tag feud that feels important, considering that you've got so many of these teams. And if we're not talking about teams, like, let's go back to the old criticism. You go back to women who continue to not get the breathing space on Dynamite. And that's what these matches at this point feel like, is that they're throttling this already packed 2 hours when you could be, like, letting something get a breath, something. I know Rampage is right now. It's right there on Friday, so we can finally start staying right. Well, maybe everything's going to start getting a bit more breathing room on Dynamite. But just to even like talk about this match feels like we're a couple of years in. Like, you'd want them to have ironed out some of these kinks by now.
Yeah, the mid card in the male division is all over the place, and I can't help but feel that the mid card in the women's division would be far better served on this show. I'd much rather see a Ty Conti do something, anything, than these six lads. Like, I really like Orange Cassidy. I do get that he's got shelf life, a limited one at that, as a episodic TV performer. This will be fun. Great. You know, like, we're not too far removed from All Out. And I've got no doubt that over the coming 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, like, the picture is going to materialize, much like the goddamn briefcase in Reservoir Dogs. But I'm ready for that. So much more than I'm ready for this trios match. Certain to be an absolutely outstanding match if it's given enough time, based on their interactions in the trios match last week. This really functions as little else but keeping Darby Allin strong. It's not a bad thing. Again, it's one of those cannibalized WWE terms. But, you know, there is a logic to it. If you put one of your standout draws and best wrestlers against an opponent he has clearly incredible chemistry with ahead of the debut of CM Punk, it's like functional and possibly electrifying business, is Darby Allin versus Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, can't wait for this. Really, really inspired booking. Throwback in a sense, because it's the... Never even thought this match could have possibly existed. Now it's on free television. Isn't it nice to have an alternative? Love the matches that feel like that. Daniel Garcia, what was cool about Daniel Garcia, and I feel like my experience would have been shared by a lot of people, is that those that had seen him were talking him up as someone to watch in this trios match last week. And then in such a short window of time, he delivered on all those expectations and then some. That's a precious spot to be in. I was feeling it for Everice, the 2.0, because I was like, oh, they're not going to get very long. Please let them pop. Please let the act get over. Please let it all make sense. And it did. Like, as a threesome, they were great. As a singles and a tag team, they were both excellent. And this is the first sort of toast to that, is Daniel Garcia getting a match where, of course, he's going to lose, but it's going to be how much of an impression can you make in eight frenetic minutes on an episode of Dynamite? I predict he'll make another really good one. Getting loads of press for going 60 minutes, was it, with Wheelie Eater or something at the weekend? Again, not one I've seen, if I'm honest, but like one I will make time for. It's a cool time to be making headlines, right, as crowds come back, and right, as you could be seen as a new king of the indies, as that scene finally comes back to life. It's just a pretty awesome time to be getting on the Daniel Garcia hype train, and I cannot see a way that that doesn't continue tonight.
Yeah, their stuff in that trios match was absolutely unbelievable. Like, a total shotgun blast of so much that's great about modern state-of-the-art pro wrestling, like warp speed, intricate, really well worked mat exchanges. Like, I expect this to be absolutely class if given the time, and I think they've basically made this match thinking, Jesus Christ, that looked awesome last week. We decided to do it, so let's do that again. I thought, like, Tony Khan is a prodigy at putting people together. Like, Garcia in 2.0 could not have complimented themselves anymore. Like, my God, like, Garcia, you expect maybe not the most vibrant, charismatic TV performer. I'll put him with, like, the two guys who can make it, so.
It was like they'd all been fired from NXT together. It was like they'd been fired as a trio rather than a tag team and a singles guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, oh, my God, that was so much goddamn fun. Like, last week's Dynamite ruled. I do not know what...
It was good. It was good. I just think the highs weren't high, but there was nout that, like, was particularly bad.
No. Something that sadly did not rule was the Revolution 2020 match between Nyla Rose and Chris Statlander. We are getting a sequel to that tonight. I expect... This is, again, they've put a bit of thought behind this, which is not enough, but you can't really, in isolation, bury them for it. What they're doing, I think, is they are building Chris Statlander for a match down the line against Britt Baker. And what they are doing is they are positioning Nyla Rose as the person to beat on the way. That's fine. It all makes sense in the rankings. You can see a leapfrog situation happening. Nyla Rose has got, in theory, like, it doesn't really work like this, but in theory, you've got, she took the title holder to the limit. You've now got the emerging new face. She can go past the last person to take it to the limit, then she's next in line. It all makes a lot of meh sense. How do you see it going, and do you think they can improve? They got absolutely reamed at Revolution 2020. They got that absolute death slot, so maybe it'll be better. But I don't know.
I think it probably will be, because I think Statlander's just improved in every aspect. I think she's got a more defined character than just the kind of alien weirdo, like the kind of like the wholesome baby. I think there's so much more to her act, just through like the way she returned and signed up with the best friends. Her work seemed sharper as well. I thought she came back with like added snap. There was none of that like post-injury fear that you sometimes see, which is pretty cool. She's going to win, absolutely. We're banging the drum every week. It doesn't solve the big problem of them proceeding ahead with what they'd clearly planned before Double or Nothing, line up five baby faces and Britt Baker can knock them all down one at a time. It's like, sometimes plans change, pal, and you've got to pivot, and they're lining up yet another baby. I know Nyla Rose wasn't a baby face, like, but they're lining up potentially here another baby face. The booking of Britt Baker in Pittsburgh is perplexing on paper. I cannot fathom how they've arrived at that for Britt Baker's big homecoming show, when at this point you could have her as the... She's going to be the returning hero anyway, but to try and force fans to boo her in the context of that match seems so weird to me as well.
Do you know what's funny in Pittsburgh?
Well, we talked this about the review last week. Like, just for Christ's sake, find her a heel. Like, the Bunny would have been absolutely fine. Just find her a heel for that night at least. At least open yourself up to it that night if you insist on going back. But Statlander winning here seems to be lining up yet another babyface. So the match might be fine. The booking is functionally decent, but is this not contributing further to the kind of the wider problem with the Baker title run?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They need to make a decision, and the decision's almost impossible at this point. I kind of don't envy them, but they had to see this coming. They absolutely had to see this coming. I'm just more confused than anything watching Baker. Like, what? Red Velvet's, that's odd. Like, Red Velvet is such a good, raw, working baby face.
I know. One of the worst possible choices in Red Velvet. One of the worst choices, I think. Because she's got to lose as well.
Nah, like, just give her a heel. Even if the idea is she's going to, like, be a tweener. God, I hate that word. It makes sense in this context, I guess, but, like, give her the bunny. Deeb would have been perfect. Deeb would have been out of this world perfect. But it is what it is.
There is hope for that, you know. There is hope for that. She stood up from a wheelchair, didn't she? And off came the support, and they could have been making that injury seem worse than it was while getting these promos on the go that people are banging to, knowing that that match is kind of this women's division dream match at this point, isn't it?
It is. But I'm like, I know it's not possible, probably, but I'm into Baker versus Deeb very much. Very, very much so anywhere. But can you imagine the way that Deeb works in Pittsburgh against Baker?
Like,
I honestly think it could have reached 5-star ceiling, given that the level of emotion, how good Deeb is at looking like she's hurting people, manipulating the crowd. He wouldn't need that much manipulating. Anyway, we're getting Red Velvet instead. And it's shocking because Red Velvet's not going to really get baby-faced, and it's not going to be her fault. Right, we're into the meat of it now. And it's not really the meat. It's kind of an inessential trios match, but it's going to be so tits that it's probably the thing on the show that I'm most looking forward to. Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks are set to face the Sydal brothers and Dante Martin. Me and Murray in the office the other day, right, before this match got announced. So, yeah, but we're marks. We talk about AEW when we're writing about and covering and talking about AEW. WWE doesn't really get mentioned, actually. But we were saying, this Dynamite car. What are you doing? Like, why isn't there like a really great match on there? Then book the office, because wouldn't you just know it? You're getting what should be a sensational trios match. There is so much good in AEW, despite, you know, the problems we will in good faith criticize. There is so much good that you forget. Oh, the Sydals are class. Yeah. The Sydal brothers will be doing class stuff. They did recently. Did you watch the match with them, the Lucha brothers?
No.
That was mint. They had
from
a
Elevation, was that?
Yeah, they had a match with Bucks earlier this year. It was mint. They had a match with FTR. Like, there are so many great little 8-minute, 10-minute Dynamite matches. Do you remember the one with FTR and the Sydal brothers?
Mint.
So lovely. Well up for seeing the Sydals. And what I expect this is, right, is they want to... Did you see that M. Dante Martin leaps over the turnbuckle spot to the outside? I think they just thought, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. Let's just do that on Dynamite. How can we make it so I'll put the Elite in the opposite corner? And it's another way to remind people that the Elite are this absolutely indomitable force at the top of this card. You can get a reminder of that. A tremendous match and possibly some kind of post-match. Are you fatigued on these trios matches or not? I'm not. This is going to be tit.
Combinations are what makes the difference for me. Because, I mean, you said it yourself earlier on. There's two to talk about, and one of them I'm not interested remotely. It's all about the combinations, and this one just absolutely works. Completely works. There's always a match, most weeks at least, there's a match where we can think about the spots that are going to happen, and this is that one this week. And it's not just, oh, because so-and-so could, like you've said about the Dante Martin spot, that I've got him, like, all that coverage in that week after the fact. But it's how will, like, what will the Bucks want to do with the Sydals, just because they all can. Will Nakazawa oil the turnbuckle again to try and stop Matt Sydal doing moonsault? And he has to go to another corner to do it, to do the shoot and start. Like that's the fun stuff that you can now do with the Elite as heels, but also, you know, you're going to get all this cool working stuff as well. And the Elite are going to win. I love the match more than I love what might come off the back of it, because it's obviously a straightforward win for the baddies. But you've got to line up. You've got to think seriously and quickly about who your Bucks opponents are. Like, we could do with getting more than just a few clues as to who the Bucks are going to be facing all out. And I would feel much better knowing when this Christian Kenny Omega match is happening. So if they can pivot from one thing to another, I'll be quite impressed. If they can get We got a little bit of it last week. So Christian said that he is pretty good at stirring up amongst friends. So he was kind of like tapping in that like really snaky heel version of himself, but as a babyface against the elite. So is he going to be ringside with the babyfaces trying to help out or something? Is he kind of, is that going to just be another tease that maybe he doesn't need the Jurassic Express as much as they think he does or whatever? Is he going to be cutting a promo beforehand where he's going to try and get in the heads so that there's one miscommunication in the match and they can sell, oh, Christian has actually gotten to us, the boring little Terrence and Phillip looking weirdo. Like, I didn't expect him to be able to get into our heads like that. And is that how you get there? I feel like Christian's involvement in it like could just be another added ingredient. And I want to know when they're going to... We're getting it. So I want to know when we're getting Omega and Christian, because I've got certain concerns over them. And I understand why. And there's lots of CM Punk conversations or Daniel Bryan conversations or whatever. I don't particularly want Kenny Omega to be in another offhanded secondary title match on a pay-per-view, and I've got concerns over Christian being the all-out guy, so I'd like them to address that and just confirm for me either way and start allowing me to mentally prepare if it's the case.
And I don't know who the hell he's facing at All Out. They know, that's the magic. It can't be Punk, because he's, I mean, we're going off one Allen tease, like MGF did as much teasing as Darby Allen. But we know that CM Punk really wants to work with Darby Allen, so that's another conversation. What if, right? And I'm going basically off the Fight TV preview, because it's on AEW Plus on Fight TV. For the debut of Rampage, it just says, you know, Britt Baker versus Red Velvet and Kenny Omega in action. So link that to Kenny Omega, Christian Cage threatening to stir up amongst the elite on Friday. So what if, because the Chicago United Center, does it need more than a big CM Punk pop? I don't know, but maybe they think, you know what, we'll want people to watch this thing.
It's only an hour as well, remember? So yeah. They haven't got a lot of time. So once you discount the Punk stuff for that Chicago Rampage, there's not a lot of room left for anything else to grab a headline, is there?
Yeah. So what if Kenny Omega in action, Christian Cage threatening to surge among the elite? What if he influences the finish, Dante Martin pins Kenny Omega?
Yes, great.
Kenny Omega versus Dante Martin, which will bang at the first Rampage, and then you get Christian Cage versus Kenny Omega at the second Rampage at the United Airlines Center.
Love it, and I've been itching for Omega to take a fall for a while.
Yeah.
Jericho was very canny and cagey when he took pins as champion, and I think Omega could have done with a couple more of them along this run so far, so I think that'd be really cool as well. They're memorable moments, those. Like, AEW really make them count.
Yeah. Dante Martin versus Kenny Omega would be absolutely unreal. Like a proper TV match, like.
And you're cool. Giving Nout away as well. That's what's so smart about that. You're not really giving anything away from your big plan, or you're not sort of having to use one of your big combinations for the big first night, but they do need to promote stuff. So promoting a world title match, even a hugely lopsided one that you know the challenger's got no chance in, is something to promote, isn't it? The all-out thing as well, just on Omega's opponent, I understand like business reasons for everything, but it's a bit like going back to the June Dynamites. Like, All Out sold out, and we're assuming that Punk's going to be announced at Rampage, so he's going to be a selling point, probably the selling point of the... So the rationale is, right, well, let's not use Hangman Page at this show for a multitude of reasons, not least because Punk's going to be one of the draws. I don't want AEW to get into the habit of thinking, just because we've got something, we've sold all the seats and we've got something to draw the pay-per-view, that we don't want to make our world title match matter.
Yeah,
I don't want them to think that they can, just because that's a kind of an old carny wrestling trick. Like, these pay-per-views are $50 and supposed to be worth it and special. You got to at least make it look as if this is, you know, one of the big, like, sort of chapter points of the year. It certainly plays that way in television, so it'd be a shame if they didn't, like, if they betrayed that a little bit come to pay-per-view itself.
I've got no idea what they've got primed for All Out. Absolutely none, but I'm on the hook for it. But like, I'm on the hook knowing what I know about AEW and how much I trust the process.
Yeah.
I'm still not on the hook yet, but we'll see. On the subject of CM Punk, God damn it. Before I get onto the tease that they did last week, just have a little bit of fun about what other teasers they can do. I'm so surprised this didn't get memed. I don't know if it was just my love of Kenny Omega and I love the delivery, but that angle with Hangman Page, when I think it was just as Frankie Kazarian came out to help, Kenny Omega's delivery of the line, "Now I'm pissed!" My tits off. But that wasn't the thing that people that got people talking about Kenny Omega last week. It was the Cookie Monster t-shirt. Like, just class. They are so thoughtful at everything they do. there was so much going on in that stupid little "we're good at basketball and aren't we great wrestlers" bit. The net tying into Cody taking off the boot at the exact same time. It feels like, oh, if they were inviting, it doesn't really feel like they're doing that anymore. That was lovely. The "what time is it? Game time, clobbering time, cookie month." Like, it's just, they love being geeks about this sort of thing. What geeky things do you think they might do about CM Punk? Because I love this. It's almost like a viral marketing campaign.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
And I firmly expect it to continue tonight.
Oh, I don't know, man. What are the big things they haven't covered? So Kenny Omega tries to speak and he can't catch his breath. And it's like, I sound pretty voiceless there. I'll be your voice. And then the Young Bucks carry on speaking for him. Or for some reason, Nakazawa's got a spirit level and they're checking it and Edge is straight. I don't know. Like, have a bit of fun with it. You know, they can, they absolutely, and they should. Like, they should absolutely treat themselves to this. This is sublime from end to end, from the day that the story leaked to the way they introduced it formally on television to everything that has followed since. How can you not love?
I genuinely want. I booked this on Twitter. The Mega fans will forgive me. Before, like, Kenny Omega and CM Punk were, like, even indirectly linked on telly. The Terminator dive and what's Kenny Omega. Oh. To sounds exactly like CM Punk's old ROH theme tune, the AFI one. If he does that and just does a little wink down the camera, I'll be putty in the hands of these carnies like the mark that I am.
Who have we got that could sit cross-legged in the center of the ring?
Nakazawa.
Just ever to cut a promo, you know, like Ivy Elite come out and it's Nakazawa takes his place in the middle of the ring cross-legged.
Absolutely.
Neck bomb! Struts the mic like that, upside down on the canvas.
Absolutely pissed myself. It's basically, I want more Nakazawa on Dynamite. Lastly, got a couple of minutes, why not? I mean, there's no time limit. I'm only asking you this because they do something every week. And it's fun to bury it. We should be more consistent in our burials. Well, I should be. Like, what rubbish stuff are they going to do with Andrade this week?
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. So me and Wilborn went off on quite a tangent about Chavo Guerrero, effectively. That's 2 weeks in a row that he's like, cancelled travel. He's like really great at getting people's passwords and hacking into their Uber apps. It's just the worst. Like, I couldn't care less for this. Piss poor stuff. They might turn the Lucha Brothers to join Andrade. Like, they might turn on Poor Pac, but then Poor Pac barely shows up to work half the time. What's the deal about that? Chavo Guerrero doing these lame one nillers over the baby faces. Joke's on you, losers. It's like, joke's on us. We're all the losers. Why are we watching Chavo and Guerrero? I hate this, man. I hate it. It's not just, oh, this is bad for Dynamite, or, oh, this is really disappointing for Andrade. It's bad. It's just actively bad. It's, I'm not so sure when, like, it's the expedited false start with Miro. Whereas with Miro and the computer game stuff, I would say one in every 4 weeks, there was at least a line or a gag that popped you. Or you would have that little glimmer of hope because he would batter somebody and be like, there he is. He's just bursting to get out. Like, they're just racing through that so much quicker. I'm just filled with, like, hopelessness and despair about this guy who is on the verge of somehow not making money for the second wrestling company in a row. But we did say all this about Miro and it came good. I hope that the coming good is expedited as well, because I hate watching this. Like, Chavo Guerrero could not feel more representative of the catastrophic misfire with this gimmick, with this Andrade gimmick so far. Like, more so than Vicky Guerrero, because you look at Vicky Guerrero and you're like, oh yeah, why is Andrade coming out with his grandma? But you can look at it and be like, never mind. Like, we'll fix it a second time. Like, this is the fix. This is, like, the Dark Order's Phantom Punches haven't even rained down yet in the Andrade failed project. We're not even at that point yet.
This Andrade thing's so much more boring than any of that.
Yeah.
At least with Miro, you'd think, Jesus Christ, have they done something spectacularly wrong? At least the Dark Order was like, have they ruined the company? With Andrade, it's just vehicular escapades and sabotage. Ugh, God, I almost did my NXT voice.
Lucha Brothers are like waiting for the food to arrive and it's like, I cancelled your Uber Eats. Thank you, friend, Jack, for that one. See you next week, fans. Another, just all happening in the interview area. See you next week.
Thing is, like, I don't understand how this company when the highs are so high, can do things that are like, I can understand actively a bit boring or a bit repetitive or a bit unfocused in the mid-card because it's not going to be one of your concerns and not everything can be great. Actively silly and bad.
And like, QT Marshall still hasn't apologised and Britt Baker still not revealed a heater. So this sort of stuff's taking the place of stuff they've promoted.
Yeah.
It's like, now we need 5 minutes for the lads to do their...
Justify that Brody's plane. Yeah. It's good bait, he sucks. Anyway, I mean...
I love that. I'll just ask you quickly about how are we going to get to fire in one of the top talents in the world?
I mean, he's got this match with Kenny Omega at Triple Mania very imminently, and my God, does he need to show out. But that's kind of like it. So people are doing the, it's still good with Andrade at the minute. It's going plunging into that hole if in fact he can't have a banger with Omega.
Send him to work the G1.
Get him sharpened up a bit, get his conditions.
Get him working the G1, yeah. Have a face-off with Naito, you know, the big stuff.
That's better than firing him. Anyway, I'm only... I don't want to see him fired. I don't see anyone fired. Maybe work somewhere else, but not fired. Same thing. Anyway, what are your thoughts on Andrade? What are your thoughts on the Labors of Jericho? What are your thoughts on my possibly ridiculous fantasy booking of Dante Martin pinning Kenny Omega? You can let us know all of your thoughts on those subjects at WhatCultureWWE underneath the Twitter post of this podcast. Whilst you're there, you can follow Michael Hamflet at...
Michael Hamflet.
You can follow me at M. Sidgwick. Once again, you can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Get set for... doubled AEW content on these podcast feeds as we look ahead to Rampage on Friday. But for now, we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.